Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tea Time with the Synoptic Sisters. Today, we are going to just kind of have a casual conversation about some things that each of us brought from our own Bible study time this week. If you've listened to us before, you might have heard us share about how originally that's how our friendship was formed and how we started talking each week, as we would a lot of times just discuss personal things that God had put on our heart through our own Bible study time. And we just found that the conversations really ended up being so fruitful. So we wanted to just kind of take it back to the basics there and do some of that today, where we each just, bring what God is talking to us about and talk to each other about it. So I hope you enjoy. I really prayed about my mom getting it too. And like, for me, like, kind of like what we're talking about with the mental biases, like in your head, you hear about something like, oh my gosh, this person had anaphylactic shock and that's so scary. But then again, it's like, okay, if I do the math, it reminds me that even though this one situation stands out in my head, the reality is like, I mean, I know there's millions of people who have gotten this. And like, even if there was just 1 million people who had it, and let's say 1,000 people had died, which nobody's died that they can really truly confirm, but let's say 1,000 people had died and 1 million people had, that would still be only 1,000th of 1% chance that you. And so now then we're talking about like COVID, where it's like, even by the most conservative estimates, it's like a 1% chance of dying. So that's like still 1,000 times. Right. And that'd be even with like the wrong numbers. Even if 1,000 people had died from the vaccine, we'd only vaccinated 1 million people, when we've actually vaccinated like millions and nobody's died. So that kind of helped me in my brain be like, okay, I understand. Like, I get why it's scary, but I also get the real numbers. Like, people die sometimes from wearing a seatbelt, Yeah. Like, it can cut you. My grandpa's brother died from wearing a seatbelt because it ruptured his spleen.
Yeah.
But like, the math is that it's probably more likely to save your life. Like,
definitely. Yeah, I tell you. Yeah, this is difficult, but it's just like, I think everybody is going to have to really just do what's best for them,
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody has to really follow what they feel like the Spirit is leading them to do. And that's the only thing right now I'm just kind of just praying that way. And like I said, maybe I'm not supposed to get it. Cause by the time I decided, okay, maybe I'll go ahead and try it out, the link wasn't even available anymore.
Yeah.
Adios, amigos.
So it was hard. Yeah. It was hard to get my mom appointment, and I felt guilty cause I found it. I worked really hard to get her one. And then I was like, what if I'm like sending her to her death or something? Like, I was like so torn up about it.
Right.
So what you both were saying, yes, we have the freedom and we have to do what's best for us. And I just saw that that's really how we should treat God in every aspect of our life, with every decision. And I want to get to that, to just be able to like, okay, Lord, and it sounds silly, but to say, Lord, should I go to the grocery store today? Is that okay? Like, is that in your will? Like, and it sounds silly, but if we truly are trusting God with everything, we should be able to have a conversation with him, because he should be in the center of our decision. So I feel like we put this like, okay, should I get the vaccine? Cause it's so big. And that just reminded me of, I think, what I was saying last week, when I was from the book, it was just saying that A.W. Tozer said, it's just how we look at God. And oftentimes we look at him as being big. And so he can only handle big things. And we're, we kind of entrust our own selves to like the little small things or the medium things.
Amen. Have we talked about that before? Like, I remember in that study that we did, the faithful, the one that by the three authors together, Kay Arthur and Priscilla and Beth. Like, there's this part in there where I think it's Priscilla talks about that exact thing, about how David would the idea of literally praying to God about everything. Like, yeah, like, should I wear this shirt today, God? Like, about, because it talks about how David would, basically consult the Lord on everything she did or he did. And she was kind of like, can you imagine the power in that, of like really actually like inviting God into every single little situation in your life? And that stuck with me, like exactly what you just said. I was like, that's just so powerful.
I like the segue that you were making about how we were talking about how we should, deal with God in that way every day, and listen or ask him specifics about our lives, whether how small or big that they are. No matter how small or big they are.
I try to do that like, again, like I said, it's usually with quote unquote major things, but just to make, like, so example was last week when I decided to go to South Carolina to visit my parents. And I was like, okay, Lord, is it okay for me to travel? You know, should I, is it okay to go see my family and make that journey? You know, as far as the weather, even though they weren't having weather, but we were having weathering, you know, like the snow was coming. It was like, well, is it going to go that way? I don't want to take the risk of driving in it and or coming back in it. And I think then I think some of it came from fear because of what happened last January. When, you know, when I totaled my car, because it wasn't even snowing, but it was a little bit wet outside that night and it froze over. So I hit a patch of ice, getting onto the freeway, where I was, merging into the freeway lane and then spent out. So it was like, okay, you know, it's winter, it's wet, it gets cold, you know, quickly if you're driving at night, and, you know, I could easily just spin out, you know, not because you don't see it. So yeah, just asking God for that, for just discernment and whether to travel or not and when to come back. So there's a backstory. So I've been doing the Lisa Turkis, forgiving what you can't forget. Right. And so in that study, it's just saying that you should go ahead and just remember things in the past to know what your triggers are. So yes, you've forgiven. And I guess the main issue is that when we're forgiving others and it comes back up, we feel like we haven't forgiven. But she's saying that's not true, because it's just like, you know, like when you've been hurt, you're going to feel the pain. Yes, you've been healed, but it's still a little bit painful. So just to make the connection. So I was doing that. So there were some triggers. So I prayed like, okay, when should I leave? Should I leave Monday? I was like, I should leave Monday, right? In part of it, because I wanted to get back for the snow so I could see the snow. But I end up leaving Tuesday. And then, but what transpired on Monday night wasn't, it was just kind of a little bit of tiss between my, you know, within my family. And I just know that when you forgive somebody, for me, sometimes it's like, yeah, I forgave you, but you don't have too much room to do anything, you know, against me, because, you know, so it's like, I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah, fresh, you know, yeah.
Or no, you know, just from even years, you know, it's just like, oh, you have no,
right.
You didn't already step to my toes. You have no room to do it, you know. So I was like, shoot, kicking myself, because I was like, man, had I left Monday night wouldn't have happened. And, you know, not to say that you can't have arguments because they're healthy or what have you, but, you know, you have different personalities, but I guess I just didn't want to have that, if that makes sense. So I don't even know if that, whatever I was saying made sense.
You mean
sense,
like, but in your family at home, or your family you're going to go see? You had an argument.
Yeah, what my family is going to see.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe you would have argued with them if you would have gone on Monday. I don't know.
I want to comment on what you said when you're done, Rika.
Okay. I was just saying I should have left Monday morning versus leaving Tuesday morning, because it wasn't even an argument. It was just
okay, I get
a little spat.
Yeah.
Disagreement. Like my dad thought something should be done one way, and I was like, no, I'm going to do it in my own time when I'm ready.
Yeah.
Because you asked me to do it, so I'm going to do it.
I've had those things
but
before.
But it was, well, you're taking too long to do it. What, it wasn't said that you're taking too long to do it, but because whatever, I don't know. So that's what happened. And I was just,
did you feel like God had told you to leave Monday?
I don't know. I just felt like he was like, leave when you want, you know, like,
yeah,
he gives me, you know, gives us that freedom. Mm-hmm. To just, you're fine. I'm going to give you traveling grace wherever, whenever you decide to leave.
Yeah.
But I just felt like I should have left Monday because I was just, so maybe it was God, but I just felt like God gave me that freedom to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because what I chose showed me that there's still some issues, tender issues that need to be addressed or just given to God or just, you know, you don't totally get over things, I guess.
That's good.
So from that study, I was like, okay.
Okay. I love everything you just said because there, first of all, there was so much stuff that that I learned in my time with God this week. But one of the most clear was I told you guys, I think I told you last week. Yeah, I did, about the She Reads Truth podcast where the John Mark Comer was on.
I started to listen to part of that. I got like 17 minutes in.
Oh my God, I'm so obsessed with him. I bought like two other of his books because I feel like he speaks clearly about like what I'm struggling with in my relationship with God and in following him well. And one of the things he said on that podcast that really stuck out to me was he said, stay where you are and let your life teach you the lessons that God means to teach you. And when you said that right now, first you said last year you left, you didn't pray, you spun out. And so it reminded you this time, let me bring this before God first, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you said that, immediately I thought of that phrase, let your life teach you the lessons God wants to teach you, because God is trying to grow us up through those lessons. And when we can recall in our relationship with God where we've had some missteps and then be reminded next time like you did, that shows our growth. It shows how we're then listening. We've learned to slow down and listen to the Lord. And even just as you're thinking through this situation that happened with your family, the more you talk, you know, I think you're right. Maybe it was intended for you to stay there so that you could be reminded that there are some things that still need to be worked out in that relationship. And even that just shows you how, you know, we've had this conversation before where oftentimes we're looking for God to make these big, outlandish, you know, wake up calls and signs and stuff to us. Mm-hmm. But it's really in the just everyday living of life, like you just explained, that the Holy Spirit is leading us into spaces where he wants us to heal more. And so I have tried really hard to, like, my thing is when I'm uncomfortable, I want to get out of that situation.
Exactly.
And, you know, and so hearing John Mark Comer say, stay where you are and let your life teach you lessons has just really led me this week to just stop trying to get out of the hard situations, no matter how hard they are, and focus on what God is trying to teach you, because I'm asking God to grow me, to grow me, to grow me. And yet I'm constantly trying to get out of the circumstance in which he might be using to grow me. And so anyways, your story just brought up exactly what was most important in my time with God this week, which was that. And then vehicles by which I feel like God has been using to both sustain and grow me. I was listening to another She Reads Truth, one that I sent to you guys, that they were speaking with Annie F. Downs, and she was saying the three things that she does on a regular basis that she's fully committed to, spiritual practices, are Sabbath. Yeah.
I'm sorry, so was it fasting?
Sabbath and fasting is what she said that she's committed to. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to do that, because I had gotten back on, I mean, obviously I tithe, but I do flippantly have, and I do Sabbath, I told you guys that, but flippantly I do fasting. And so I said, I'm gonna make it a commitment to stick to those things, just to make it those things as common as me eating lunch or dinner or breakfast, you know? And so, and then in John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, he has little specific steps that you can take to building in silence and solitude and Sabbath and all these different things into your life. And he gave some other really good examples of Sabbath that he does. Like he does sundown to sundown. So he starts Saturday night, which I'm actually going to start today, until Sunday night. And he said he'll do something like have a nice meal before he starts his Sabbath, or light a candle, just all these different things that can help stir his heart to Sabbath, to spending time with God like that. And so that was the second thing that was important for me this week, is just incorporating time where I'm allowing time to hear God, and time on Sabbath to let God pour into me, time during fasting to really commit to prayer for the things that I'm struggling with in my life. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, every morning sitting before God in my Bible, I try to read a chapter and then just write a little bit so that I'm able to like tone things down a little bit so that I'm hearing and able to follow what God is trying to teach me.
That's good.
As you were talking about fasting, that God just reminded me too, that he was talking about fasting with me this week as well. And I believe it was in Tom Bollinger's book. I could be wrong, but I read it where someone was given an example about a woman who committed to fasting from sun up to sundown. It started Saturday. She did it weekend. So Saturday night to Sunday night or something like that, where she was committed to doing, I think it was Tom Bolton, just because it was talking about leadership and how that's what she was doing to ensure that she was just spending time away from the media, away from just things and people, and just, you know, like she was okay with her family, but just to make sure that she just had that some closure, or, you know, close time with God, and just allow God to just nourish her like that. And so that was reminding me or encouraging me that it is important to fast. And sometimes I get scared of fasting because I don't want to know the answers. because like in my fasting, like I was doing Fridays, like a couple years ago. And from that, I got some information that I did not want to know about. So I was like, ah, so while I was thankful, but it was like, I don't want to be aware, you know, if that makes sense, you know,
But I like what you're saying about, you know, sometimes being scared for the answers you get. Because what I just kept thinking after both you guys were talking was that how, you know, sometimes you hear like, well, what if the point is just that God wants to get you to pray more? You know, what if the point is just that time alone? It's not praying for a certain outcome. It's not what prayer can do for your life. It's literally just God wants that relationship with you, you know, because I'm thinking about how easy it is to get caught in this place where you're second guessing yourself about all these different life decisions. And, oh, well, you know what? That happened because I didn't pray first. Or maybe that would have happened different if I would have prayed first. And then you get to the place where, you know, you're praying and then these things still happen. And you're like, okay, well, yeah, what if I pray and that car accident still happens? And then, but the point is you're praying, you know, the point is you're there with God. So yeah, maybe sometimes not praying and having something happen might prompt your spirit to pray more, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, okay, this thing wouldn't happen, because, you know, maybe that thing's still going to happen, but now you have God with you while it happens, you know, and you're going to see it differently. You know, maybe you're going to grow from it in a different way than you would have if you hadn't have been partnering, you know, like, what do they say? You're not supposed to say partnering of God because he's God, but you know what I mean? In communication with God, in that relationship with God through that process, because, you know, I think a lot of times it's like you can have two different people and have the exact same life experiences happen to them, but there's a huge difference in the way they deal with those situations and the way their life trajectory goes from that. You know, I mean, because it really is all about, well, how does that affect us and how do we grow from that? And the difference, you know, I think for me is, well, you know, how did I let God use that situation? You know, it's not so much that I think I'm going to avoid, I guess, certain trials by praying. Obviously, I do believe
if I'm in communication with the Lord, I trust that he's good and he's going to use the Holy Spirit to guide my choices and give me wisdom. I absolutely believe that. But I also believe that, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit and his wisdom will still allow me to experience, you know, trials on this earth, just like everybody else. And then God, you know, by me being, you know, kind of yielding to his voice and his teaching, he will allow those trials to be used for something good, where I might miss that if I'm just alone in that situation and, you know, not going to God and being like, okay, God, how is this going to, you know, work in my life? How are you going to use this?
I like that you went there because I just read the scripture this week, James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Consider it a great joy. Some versions say a pure joy. Whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, but endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So not also just endurance, but another word, you know, the synonym is perseverance. And like you said, you know, yes, we communicate with God and ask or talk with him about, you know, making decisions. And just because they, you know, we know there are consequences, whatever, there's positive and there's negative. And sometimes we take some of those consequences and we call them negative because it doesn't actually turn out the way we would want to. But that's just that scripture right there just encourages that we're going to go through trials, like you said, and God's going to use it. And when we go through it, it's just testing our faith, and we want to, you know, be mature in our faith. And so we have to go through things, whether it feels good or not. And like I always give that example of being in the oven, or, you know, like baking, when we bake, it's hot. We're not, you know, sometimes we want to get out. But if we lower the temperature or get out too fast, just like a cake, if it's not done, it's going to flop. And that's what God, you know, does for us on a daily basis is test our faith, or we should ask God to test our faith to see what area of our life we need growth. And so, again, like that example I gave was when I went for that visit, and I think God was just showing me this is an area where you need some growth.
And when you say testing, like, I'm thinking about actually what I was going to bring up is like my takeaway from this week's Bible study was this part in my Galatians study where it talks about the difference between living to God and living for God, and just the power in kind of allowing your mind to like make that shift. Because I'm thinking about how so many people, I think when they hear the idea of our faith being tested, it's like they imagine God being this, you know, distant person who's overseeing your life and then judging how well you respond to something, you know, and then his approval is based on how you handle this test he gives you. You know, and if that's how you interpret that verse, I think you're missing, you know, a lot of like the blessing of what's trying to be communicated there. You know, because, you know, if I think about being tested, you know, I guess like to God, instead of like by God, you know, it's like the idea of like, well, if I want to improve at something, you know, sometimes you give yourself little tests, like you quiz yourself on something. If you're trying to learn it, you practice something over and over again to help you improve, because you understand how those conditions help you develop the skills that you need to get there. It's not because, necessarily you are being judged, or, you know, being like, you know, your approval depends on that. And I try to think about, you know, when God talks about disciplining us, just remembering that, you know, it's the same thing. He already approves of us because of Christ. You know, we have Christ's approval, you know, so when we go through these tests, it's about strengthening and refining our faith, not to win his approval, you know, but just for our own benefit, you know, so that we can reap the full benefit and the full gifts of that faith that he's given us. You know, he wants to let us have that full access to it. And sometimes certain growth can only happen under, you know, those situations where there is stress, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I there was a scripture there is a scripture that I absolutely love. It's Isaiah 30:15, and it came back up in my study this week, and it says, in returning in rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. And then the next line says, but you are unwilling. And there's that scripture always gets me back in a space where, like you said, you know, sometimes I don't think I'm ever conscious of me maybe seeking the approval of God. So that is something that I have to constantly remind myself. And I even remember this week sometime at some point as I was going to bed or waking up, talking that through with God, saying, I know that I am declared righteous, you know, by, like, you've already made me that. But there's frustration when I can't behave that way, you know what I mean? Or when I don't, or not that I can't, but when I don't take full control of knowing that the power of Jesus Christ lives in me and gives me the choice to make a different decision based, you know, where my behavior is concerned. And it's really, lately it's been not what I'm putting out that I'm struggling with, but what I'm thinking in my head, really, like, I can't do this. I can't do this, Lord. I just can't do, you know what I mean? That type of thing. And so I found a lot of peace in returning to that scripture that I love, which, you know, in returning in rest, you shall be saved, and in quietness and trust shall be your strength. Because I couldn't sleep the other night. I was up till like 3 a.m. and I was like, let me just open my Logos and study this particular scripture. And I want to read to you what one of the commentaries said. It was saying that, so when it says returning, obviously that's repentance. And it's saying that repentance is the product, not of refusal to face life, but of insistence upon taking God into account in trust. And so you're not saying, I'm not saying, you know, this isn't happening in my life. I'm acknowledging what I'm going through, but I'm focusing all of whatever I'm going through in complete trust that whatever God is going to do, like you said, Rika, in the trials and stuff that we face, it's going to be for my good. It's going to be that he's going to make me into a person that's complete and lacking nothing, like it says in James. And it said, when it says in the scripture, in returning in rest, you shall be saved, in quietness and trust shall be your strength. The strength that particular verse is talking about is strength for your life's battles. So as we return to God for repentance, and as we rest in him and trust him, and the quietness of just literally putting it on God and not thinking about it again, that's where we receive strength for life's battle. And that was important for me to in my fight that I can't do something, that I can't do this. I can't bear this. I can't endure this, God. Because that's exactly what I'm looking for, is strength for my life's battle. And so just being able to remember how to return to God and literally throw all this stuff off on him and trust him, and not try to seek approval, like you were saying, and like reminding myself. I feel like it's constantly that I need to go back to the basics of like 1, 2s, and 3s of salvation. Like, this is what it means that I'm saved. And, you know, God's power lives in me. I can choose to act out of that. I need to throw all this stuff on him and trust him every day. Like, it's just, I don't know. I constantly get in this place where I feel like I need to go back to elementary school concerning salvation. And, you know, that's kind of how it's been for me this week.
Wow. That's deep. Wow. And this conversation can just keep going on. And I just love, and I'm so thankful to God for the conversations, the relationship that we have with each other. But I just have to say this. So like I said, I did get a chance to listen to part of She Reads with that the guest speaker, Mark Comer.
John Mark Comer.
John Mark. Thank you. John Mark Comer. And in those first few minutes, just what you were saying about having to revisit salvation and the elementary steps to it. He was saying that he referenced Romans 12 and just being basically he also referenced Paul and how we live our life as a race, right? Training. And so he said we're constantly being in training. So like you said, you have to keep going back to those elementary steps, and not just you, but all of us. And sometimes there's that frustration, like, why am I not maturing? Why am I not getting stronger or better or quicker or faster? And he's like, it's a daily thing of training, you know? So, you know, stay encouraged. I encourage you. I encourage myself, Drea, and everybody else who would be listening, that it's daily and it takes time. And the fact is that we will never be perfect. God calls us to be perfect in him because he is perfect. But we also have that freedom to know that we will never be perfect, and to call on God to give us that strength to endure and to get through, and to know that we are loved and accepted, and we do not need to seek his approval because we're stamp approved through the blood of Jesus.
I'll tell you real quick though, Rika, like, I love that you're just talking about running, because that's what it says in my, you know, example thing that I was looking at. It talks about Paul's example of it being a race. And I was just thinking in my head about how powerful the difference in my mind, like my own mind, is between like the idea of running for God versus running to him. Like if I'm thinking I'm running for God, I might be thinking like, okay, I want to run my best. I want to train myself in condition because I want to honor the Lord in my running. But if I'm running to God, I'm just trying to be fast and get there. Like, you know, if you're running to something, that's a total different motivation than if you're running a race, like, you know, to win a race. Like when you're like, I think about Peter jumping out of the boat and just running to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like if you're running to something, you don't need anything other motivation. You're just trying to get there, you know? And I was just thinking about like I just like love that idea. Like I love that power and that. So I just was reminded of that when you're talking. So I just want to tell you that real quick before I forgot it. Okay.
So we just give glory to God and thank God for this time that we've had and shared together. So we invite you to join us again as we continue our talks with each other and what God is doing in our lives, and just praying that you all will stay encouraged.